You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We'll start there. We'll jump off that diving board and pray there's water in the pool. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Ephesians 4 chapter in the 26 verse. Be angry and sin not. 26 verse, 4:26. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath. That's why if you're going to get mad at your wife, do it in the morning so you have all day to repent.
That's right.
But then he goes on and says this in the 28th verse, leaving that aside. Hey, you get mad, but God said don't get in sin. Repent. Amen. He's not saying wait all day. He said every day you ought to repent. Every day you ought to repent. Get over it. You don't need to be angry. We live in a time people get angry and do crazy things. You'll always do crazy things when you're angry. You know, I always say about people who get mad and upset about things, you know, they want to make a phone call, write a letter. Hey, make the phone call tomorrow, all right? Yeah. Write the letter tomorrow. Sleep on it. Get up. You'll probably regret sending that letter or making that phone call in the emotional state that you're in. You sure don't want to call them, talk to them while you're driving down the road, talking to that windshield, tell them everything that you're going to tell them while you're by yourself in that car. Thank God we don't have tape recorders in the cars. Hello. I've seen some of you people driving down the road. Nobody in the car. You know, you just stir yourself up, you know. Okay, well, get over that. Amen. 28th verse, this is what we'll get into. 27, well, give no place to the devil. That's what he's talking about. Anger is giving place to the devil. Now, I want to give place to God. I want to have a place for God in my life. I want him to be comfortable in my life and prepare a place for him. Amen? Now, you can prepare a place for the devil or you can prepare a place for God. And he's saying, let's don't prepare a place for the devil. Anger is an open invitation. It's a vacancy sign saying, come on, come on in. It's free. Have a seat. It's tell the devil, come on in our lives. So don't give place to the devil. Don't give him a place. Give place to God. Amen? And so love and forgiveness and prayer, that gives place to God. Praise gives place to God. He inhabits the praises of his people. So as you talk about God, he shows up. If you talk about what makes you mad, mad shows up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? I mean, there are things you've been hurt by and things that upset you. The more you talk about them, the more that shows up. I mean, we're all fine right now, but listen, I could get on politics right now and get y'all some mad. Whew. Some of you might be mad at me. I don't know. But, you know, we can get angry by what we give place to. We give place to what we talk about. So he's saying, let's don't do that. So 28th verse says, let him that stole steal no more. This is what I'll get to. Obviously, we know it's wrong to steal. That's one of the commandments, thou shalt not steal. Come on. But I don't think we catch the gist of that. He's not just saying don't steal. He's wanting us to not be passive or neutral or be like a vacuum here where nothing's going on. He wants us to do the opposite of that. When God says don't lie, he's not saying don't say anything. He's saying tell the truth, don't lie.
Amen.
Amen? When he says don't kill, he's not saying just don't kill. He's saying go help people live.
Right.
Be a part of life. And so if we're not going to lie, then we need to be people going around telling the truth, speaking up for the truth, saying the truth.
Amen.
Whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
So, let him that stole steal no more. And he gives us a little insight here. He goes the next step and says, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who needs. Wow. So the opposite of stealing would be given. Given is East Texas for giving. Okay. You just have to catch my accent. So God wants us to live to give. I love that. He wants us to work so we have something to give. He doesn't want us just to work to put beans on the table and roof on the head. And bless God, if I got a roof on my head and beans on the table and clothes on my back, that's all I could ever ask for. In fact, that's my prayer. Lord, bless my four, no more. I had five kids. If you bless my seven, take me to heaven. But no, it's more than us. I think we spend our focus on us. And we're living in times where it seems like that's a big issue. We're going to make it economically and so on and so forth. How am I going to pay my bills? Hey, listen, my focus is how am I going to continue to give? I want to give. I want to help. I want to bless and get my eyes off me and get on everybody else. You say, well, don't I need my bills paid? Well, of course you do, but you want to get even past that. You want not just the cup. You want the cup running over. You want to think in terms of, you know, we can just think in terms of the church here and just paying our bills and just building our buildings and just doing our thing and not think anybody else. But I can tell you real quick, we wouldn't be where we are today if we'd thought like that in the past. It's because of our giving to missions and outreaches that has caused us to be where we are today. There's a method to the madness. There's a rhyme to the reason. There's something that brought us to where we are. And that what brought us to where we are, of course, is obeying God and doing what God said and trusting in God. Years ago, we got aggressive with our giving and our missions giving. And that's what broke through, caused our church to have a breakthrough financially. It's an amazing thing. I mean, we were just barely struggling, just barely getting by. We were in debt. We weren't barely struggling. We were really struggling. Yeah, that's right. We were barely getting by. Got to get all my superlatives and everything, adjectives and everything lined up. So we were just barely getting by, struggling. In fact, Mo and Ron, I'd met, we talked about different ways to get out of debt. We were just so encumbered, you know, in debt. This is back in 1995, which is just the other day. As you get older, that is just the other day. And we even talked about things like, you know, bonds and goodness. We said, no, we don't want to do that. I don't want to go the pledge route. I don't want to go all the fundraisers that you do. And so I really had in my heart that we need to increase our giving. And that's the first thing I think Mo said. And Ron came up with a missionary that we'd support. In fact, it was Walt and Eva that we need to support. And I'd had that in my heart too. So it was a real confirmation. We were all on the same, you know, same page. It was just really God. I love the way God works that way. And so we upped our giving. Man, we just upped our giving. We decided we're going to reach out and start looking out instead of just in. And looking at others instead of just ourselves. Are you with me? And that was a breakthrough for us. In fact, I think that year we gave $8,000 to missions that year. And man, that was huge. You know, we started giving $200 a month, I think, to missions. And we decided we're going to double that. I mean, we're going to give another $200 a month in 6 months, and another 6 months give another $200. We were getting aggressive. You say, well, I thought you were trying to figure out how to get out of debt. That's right. That's exactly what we were doing. We decided that we would give our way out of debt.
That's right.
Hello? Now, we'd started the V-Money thing back in 88. We were putting extra money on our notes to pay off our notes early. But we were, you know, we were way behind. So in 95, I think we gave $8,000. In 96, we gave $20,000 to missions. Woohoo! 97, it was $32,000. 98, I believe, was $58,000, and then that was it. It's been over $100,000 every year since then.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
And since then, of course, our building was paid off in 97. We got completely out of debt in 97. That was a miracle in and of itself. And we've not been in debt since. We poured all this concrete, built all these buildings. Now we have 45 acres of land. It's all paid for, and we're giving $100,000 a year to missions.
Amen.
So, I have some moral authority, as it were, to preach this. I'm not just telling you something. You know, I mean, you know, if you've been here, that we live this way. Our church has lived this way. So you've got to get out of yourself. Lord, deliver me from me. The first thing you got to get delivered from is yourself. And the idea that you can't make a difference, and the idea that your future is just going to be wrapped up in you. It's not just wrapped up in you. There's others in you. There's people that need you. There's people that need your faith and need your help and prayers and hallelujah. Start thinking of how you can help someone else and bless someone else. If you put others first and make others your business, God will make you His business. Quit worrying about yourself and start putting your efforts and your faith into helping others, and God will move heaven and earth to make sure you have plenty. But if you just keep looking at yourself and keep worrying about yourself and keep, oh, how am I going to make it, and oh, dear, 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 dear. Piglet and Winnie the Pooh, you know. Dear, 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 dear. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Don't be a piglet. And don't be an Eeyore either.
Well, I guess we're just not going to make it. We're all going to die.
Now we're going to live and not die. Amen? Amen. God's on our side. Hallelujah. Praise God. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Praise the Lord. I can make a difference. I count. God's in me. I can reach someone. I can touch someone. I can help someone. I can lift someone. I can love someone. I can bless someone. I can help somebody.
Amen.
I can. And so, Lord, help me. Bless me so I can bless others. Help me so I can help others. That should be our goal. Not just, Lord, just help me get by. I don't want to live on get by street. We've lived on barely get by street. Then we've lived on, we got enough street. But the best street to live on is more than enough street. That's the best street to live on. And you make those moves yourself. You make those moves by the decisions you make, by the attitude that you take, and by, fulfilling the scripture here. So he says, let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, because it's good to work. Work is a good thing. Thank God for work. I know you hear a lot about people losing jobs. You start believing God for a better job or the job you have that you get promotions on that job. Take your, let your future be determined by what God says, not by what the world says.
Amen.
And maybe you're retired. That's fine too. Thank God your inheritance is secure. Praise God. God will continue to bless you. He'll make a way where there is no way. Doesn't matter what the dollar bottom line says. God's got a million ways of blessing you. He's got things you never thought of or dreamed of if you'll just get your focus in on Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let him stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands a thing which is good, so that he may have something to give to him who has need. See, that's the point. That's the heart. That's the attitude. It's we ought to be looking out for others and helping others and blessing others. Anybody want to bless somebody?
Yes.
I do. Amen. Praise God. But you've got to have that attitude. You gravitate toward what you focus in on. It's not what's going on around you. It's not everything that you see that determines where you're going to be or what you're going to do. It's what you focus in on that determines where you're going to go, what you're going to do. When I get through with this service, and I will, plenty of time to let you go home. You can see the walls, the flags, you can see the lights, you can see the carpet, the chairs, the people, but you're going to focus in on a door. Most of you that door, some came in this other door. And you're going to head toward where you're focusing. That's just life. That's the way it is. There's a lot going on. We see all kinds of things, but it's only what we center in on. It's only what we focus in on that determines where we're going to go. Amen. What we're thinking on, what we're meditating on, what we're talking about. We're headed where our head is. Amen. As Toucan Sam says, follow your nose. So watch where you got your nose pointed. Some things you don't need to be so nosy about. Okay. So if we're looking to help people, you know what? God will make sure we got plenty to help them with. Because God loves that. In fact, he gives seed to the sower. I love that. In fact, Isaiah 55, 11 and 12, or 10, 11 says this. It says, as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and watereth the earth, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know that verse? I love that verse. Awesome verse. The water and the rain, the snow from heaven has an intent. It has a purpose. Its purpose is to water the earth. Why? To make it bring forth and bud, to make it increase, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then he goes on and says, so shall my word be. So shall, just like water. The intent of God's word is the same as the intent of water. The purpose of God's word is the same as the purpose of water. God's word comes into your life and it makes you bring forth and bud. It causes increase in your life. Give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. So we want to be sure and try to get God's word in us instead of everybody else's word. Instead of everything else we hear. Everything else everybody else says, we ought to try to get what God says in us, because it's only what God says that's going to bring increase in our life.
Amen.
Most of what everybody else says is not going to bring increase. It's not going to cause us to prosper, bring forth and bud, and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It's going to take away our bread. But God's word is like water that will water our soul.
Yes.
And will cause increase to come. But he says here he gives seed to the sower. I love that. You know, we often think, well, Lord, give me something and I'll go help somebody. Well, God doesn't give seed to people who don't sow. Well, Lord, give me something, I'll go sow. No, Lord, God says, well, no, go sow and I'll give you something.
That's right.
Three of y'all got that. I mean, there's something you could eat. Call somebody, bake a cake. I like banana pudding, but anyway. Now, I'm not fishing. Stay with me. Don't show off my doorstep with a bunch of banana pudding. I mean, do what you can. If you'll do what you can, if you're faithful in little, God will put you over much. If you just try to help somebody do something, getting quiet in this church. Okay, all right. I know it's just not exciting stuff. We're going to go out and help people, huh? We're going to make the world a better place. I know it's not exciting. Not a great picture here to make the world better, but you can make a difference. But here's the good news. If you'll start doing that, I'll tell you what, it'll get all over you. You can't stop. It'll start increasing. God will show up because he gives seed to sowers. You know, I think of it this way, too. Luke 6 chapter, I quoted that in the offering. He said, what are you doing? Sitting down. Well, Jesus sat down. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. You know what Jesus said, Luke 6:38? Now, isn't that fascinating that he says, I'll give you something, go give it. Oh, well, no, he didn't say that. He said, give, and it shall be given to you. Well, one day, when my ship comes in, oh, man, I'm going to win that lottery. Well, you don't need to be playing that lottery. If you win it, you better bring that tithe here. But anyway. But you need to start where you are. Are you out there? It doesn't really matter about anybody else. It doesn't matter about what you think about doing down the road somewhere. Start where you are. Start with what you have. You got something. You can help. You can bless. You can give. We can do that in the church as far as tithes and offerings. That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about giving, helping others, putting others first. Part of that is, of course, being a part of a church and being faithful in your tithes and offerings. That's not the subject I'm on. I'm just talking about this attitude of always helping others, reaching out to others, helping your neighbor.
Yes.
Amen? But if you're waiting around to do anything, no, there's something you can do now. There's always something you can do.
That's right.
And if you'll do what you can do, God'll do what you can't do.
Amen.
You know, I think of the where Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding feast. You know, all they could do was put water in the bottle, in the bottles. They weren't bottles; they were huge. You know, gallons and gallons of water that they held. But they couldn't make the wine; they were out. So Jesus turned it into wine. He did what they could not do when they did what they could do. Hallelujah. Of course, that speaks volumes about marriage too. You know, that was a wedding feast. If you'll do what you can do in a marriage, God will do what you can't do in a marriage. And if you'll do what you can do giving, God will do what you can't do giving. He'll give to givers. Given it shall be given. He gives seed to sowers. See, God's not going to waste his time and just try to multiply himself through people that are never going to do anything. But if you'll show that you really want to help and bless, he'll pour himself out to you. Because that just makes good sense. He's going to be able to increase himself through you, multiply through you, and help others through you, because you are a giver. So this is an attitude that we need to adopt, you know, not work with our hands just to have our bills paid, but work with our hands the thing which is good that we may have to give to him that need it. Hallelujah. Looking out for people that need. You know, the government wouldn't be involved in all the things they're involved in if we all did what we're supposed to do. Hello. Now, don't you get mad. I won't start that political stuff again. But, I mean, we've always been supposed to take care of the poor. We're always supposed to do that. We're always supposed to take care of our own, our families, and so on and so forth. We're supposed to have been doing that all the time. But now the government's come in and taken that over, so nobody does that anymore. Well, we do it. We just do it through taxes, you know. But we're not grateful. We're not. I heard it said this way, that when the government begins to do what the church is supposed to do all the time, you get rid of these two virtues. The rich have always taken care of the poor, but now the rich have to take care of the poor by law. And so instead of the rich doing it because they love to or because of charity, there's no charity involved. The rich are mad about giving it. And the poor that are receiving are not grateful because now they've earned it as a right. They believe they're supposed to have it. So now no one's grateful and no one's loving what they're doing. Something to think about. Anyway, let's get off that real quick. But we should be helping others. And God will give us seed to sow if we're sowers. And He'll give to us if we're givers. I even love what He said to Abraham back in Genesis 22:17, I believe, what it is, or 17:22. In the Old Testament, God said, He told Abraham, He said, "In blessing I'll bless thee. In multiplying I'll multiply thee." So when you think of that way, how does God bless us? As we bless, He blesses us. In blessing I'll bless thee. As you bless others, I'll bless you. I'll empower you and help you to help others. If you'll help others, I'll help you do that.
That's right.
Amen. That's good. Amen. So He gives seed to sowers, He gives to givers, and He blesses blessers.
Amen.
You decide whether you be a sower, you decide whether you be a giver, you decide whether you be a blesser. But if you do decide to do that, God will help you do that. He will. Now, if you don't want to be that, you don't want to do that, you're on your own. God's not going to help you be a bum.
Come on.
He's not going to help you be stingy. He's not going to help you be mean. He's not going to help you not care about people. You have to not care about people all on your own. All by yourself. But if you want to start caring about people and loving people, you know what? God will help you do that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And man, He'll make something out of you. He really will. If you'll make the effort, you'll take the step. You take one step, He'll take two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know that song? Okay. Ephesians 4. Lest I go off into song here and completely lose you and ruin the message. The 28th verse says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." Man, that's a different attitude, isn't it? I mean, that's taking it to the next level. That's not just saying, "Lord, I can't. I'm just barely getting by here." No, we want our cup running over. In fact, he does give us more than enough. I remember Peter threw a net out to get some fish, and there were so many fish he couldn't hold in his boat. The nets broke, and the Bible says they had to get another boat and fill it up, and both the boats began to sink. Now, that's more than enough. Amen? I remember the young lad that had two fishes and five loaves of bread that fed 5,000 people. Three loaves of bread. 5,000 people. When it was all over, he had 12 baskets full. He had to get somebody to carry home the overflow. So the little became much when it was put in the master's hand. And your little becomes much when you put it in His hands. Your life becomes much when you put your life in His hands. And one of the ways we do that is loving each other and helping each other. If we say we love God, we have to love our brother. Amen? Okay. So, this helping you?
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. So, we want to help somebody. We want to bless others. We want to let our life make a difference. Let our life be a light shining. I know we live in a crazy, mixed up world, but listen, this world has always been crazy and it's always been mixed up. Really nothing new going on. It's just we've got more communication going on. There's always been injustices in the earth. There's always been a messed up world that we live in. This world's fallen. It's been fallen since Adam sinned some 6,000 years ago. What'd you expect? It's broken. The only hope for this world is Jesus Christ. The way Jesus moves is through the church, through us. We are really the only hope the world has. Jesus in us. Because the world's not going to learn how to love and give and help and bless and live holy from television. That's not going to happen. I'm not against all television. I'm just saying if you're getting your morality from the television or from the world, the movie world, then you're going to have a tough time unless you listen, watch a lot of Christian movies. And if you're getting your faith from the newspaper and the news broadcasters, then, hey, buckle up. You're in for a roller coaster ride. Actually, it's not much bump to it. It's just downhill all the way. So we need to get our faith and our focus and our future and our hope somewhere else. We've got to get it from God. Amen. He's the only unchanging standard in a changing world. Constant in an inconstant world. And He loves us and He's for us. Amen. And He says if we give, we help, He'll bless us. Praise God. So it says here, let's go on. The 29th verse says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. He's still saying the same thing. He's just saying now, instead of your hands, he's talking about your mouth. What do you mean? Well, we ought to build up with our tongue, give to others with our tongue, say good things and lift people and encourage people, not discourage and tear down and steal from them, but give to them. Isn't that good? You know, when you criticize people, you're stealing from them. You're stealing their dreams. You're stealing their confidence. You're stealing their hopes. Oh, don't steal no... No, steal no more. Are you with me? Let him that stole with his mouth steal no more. But let him work with his mouth the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that he may minister grace to the hearers. See, I can, with what I say and what I pray, build others and give to others and help others and lift others, just like I can work with my hands and give to others, financially speaking, and help others with what I do. Or I can sneak into somebody's house and just steal all their goods while they're not looking with my hands. Or I can talk about them when they're not listening. Moving right along here. Whoa, did I strike a chord there? I felt the vibration as soon as I said that. How many of you have done that? Come on, we all done it. You know it. You know, we're like those people who says, well, we're not like everybody else. We don't talk about people in front of them. Yeah, but evidently you're sneaking in their house just like you went in there and stole something. It's the same thing. You're just doing it with your tongue instead of your hands. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Oh, well, how did I get into this trouble? I don't know. We need to hear this. Amen? We ought to be thinking about others, helping others, lifting others, building others, blessing others. Praise God. If we'll do that, God will help us.
Amen.
Praise God. But look at Galatians 6. Just back up a little bit. Galatians, the book right before Ephesians. You know, I always like to say Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. The acronym for that, G-E-P-C, Gentiles eat pork chops. So, okay. Just trying to help you remember this. See, the little things jogging memory. Galatians, notice what it says in the 6th chapter. This helping you? Okay. Well, tell me every once in a while. I need some help too. Galatians 6. Well, actually, verse 6 says, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. That means be supportive of ministry. Like you go to a church and you just support the ministry. And really, that's what makes it happen. I mean, come on. I mean, I can get up here and talk, but still there's buildings to be built and chairs to be bought and lights to come on and so on, and all of us pooling our resources together making this thing happen. There's no one-time gift. It's all of us doing our part. And so we're making a difference. We're reaching the world from Wills Point, Texas. Amen? Think about it. We're changing the world from Wills Point. Everybody ever gets saved in any mission that we support all around the world. We just name country after country after country that we're behind and support missionaries and missionary organizations. You have had a part in that. Every one of us have, because we all make it happen. Amen. We've communicated. We've shared in this message. We've shared in this cause. The cause of Christ. The only cause that matters. Amen. The only investment that always has returns. The only stock market that never goes down.
That's right.
That always has increase. It always has blessing that comes with it. So he says, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you give, it will come back to you. Don't you be deceived into thinking that when you've blessed the kingdom and you've helped others, that it's gone down the tubes. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It's over, Rover. See, this is a positive, not a negative. We often think of this, and I've heard this quoted many times about sin. And truly, if you sin, you're going to reap the repercussion of sin, the recompense of sin. But that's not what he's talking about. He's saying here that if you give, it will come back to you. God is not mocked. You're not going to outgive him. You're not going to be better than him. You're not going to help somebody and God forget about it. God's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love and work that you've shown toward his name and how you have ministered to the saints and do minister, the Bible tells us. He's not unrighteous. He sees everything we do good. He's not the policeman in the sky passing out the tickets when you violate a scripture. He is the good God wanting to reward you for the good things you do. Now, there is consequence for sin. That's another subject. I believe in holy living. I believe there's repercussion for sin. I understand that. But the context of this is not, if you do bad, God's going to get you. The context is, if you do good, God's not going to forget you. And you're never going to stand before Him and say, I did all this, God, you didn't do one thing for me. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Wow. What did he just say? He said, give to him that teacheth. So if you're giving and helping financially, God sees that and He's going to bless that. You know, the Bible tells us if we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord, and we will be repaid. I'm not looking for the government to repay that. Thank God for tax receipts, okay? Stay with me. And write-offs and all those things. Take them as long as the government provides them, but it doesn't really matter if they do or don't. I'm looking to God for my return. I'm not giving to you to get back from you. In essence, I'm giving to you to get back from God. I don't really care about you. I just know that God will bless me if I help you. No. Now, stay with me. Come on now. You know I was kidding when I said that. In fact, if I don't care about you, I'll lose my reward. But I got to do it with the right attitude. But what I'm saying is I look to heaven, as we all should. Amen. And I like to say it this way, too. You know, we're on offer basis, and you know that. Many of you, I don't say it all the time, but, you know, we're even on the envelopes where it says pastor, church. Actually, we don't take anything from the church. We never have. We don't take a salary from the church. Everything comes out of the pastor's box. Because I just determined when we started the church back 27 years ago when I was 10, I determined when we started the church that I wasn't going to be a hireling per se, and God just dealt with me that way. Now, that's fine if other churches have pastors on salaries and everything. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, that's just what I felt God dealt with me, that we'd own our own home. We'd just come minister to you and live by faith. I just want to live by faith and on offerings. And so from those offerings, of course, you know, we are paid through those offerings, but only through pastor. We don't take anything that says church. If you don't mark it, we don't take it. If it's unmarked, it all goes to church. Are you with me? But, see, you get to thinking, oh, so your success is determined by our giving. No, it's not. No. No, my success is determined by my giving. Yeah, if you don't make us happy, we won't give. That's all right. God will call somebody else to help me. No, really, I don't say I'm mad. I'm not mean. But I can't be moved by that. Oh, he's got a lot of money. I'm going to preach to him. What does he like to hear? I'm going to preach to him. Or they don't have a lot of money, so I don't even care about them. Oh, come on, no, I'm preaching to you and looking to God to bless me. And as I give, he said he would give it back to me. So if I stop giving, hey, I killed the goose that laid the golden egg. If I don't do my part, what I do determines my future, not what you do. What you do determines your future, not what I do. You are not a victim of society, of the economy, of the government, or anything. If you'll do what God says, God will bless you according to what you do. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Let's go on a little further here. Ooh, it's good. This is better preaching. Y'all are amen. I'm preaching myself happy here. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came today. I needed this sermon. Let him who is taught in the word, 6th verse, share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So in context here, he's talking about giving, and you will reap what you sow. 9th verse, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Mm-hmm. 7th verse, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. What am I going to reap? What you sow? No, I'm reaping what I sow. Well, yeah, but see, Pastor, you know, you're on an offering basis. You, You're only going to reap what we sow. No, that's not true. I reap what I sow. A couple of you are real happy about that. The rest of them, stay with me. And I appreciate your giving. In fact, I can take another offering after this message. Maybe get a little more, but no. You ought to give with your heart. You ought to give as God leads you. Are you with me? But see, I'm not looking to you. I've got to be looking to God. I have to look to God to be able to minister to you. I didn't mean it in a bad way. Stay with me. I have to look to God to be able to minister to you. Because if I look to you from the standpoint of money or no money or, oh, come on, you know, I can't do that. Or you're mad at me or you're for me. Are you kidding? I preach to people who are mad at me all the time. Preach to people who are for me all the time. Sometimes you get mad at me. Sometimes I get mad at you. Join the club. We got to get over it. I remember one lady stood up one time years ago and said, I just want to testify. I was going to leave the church. I was mad and so upset I was going to leave the church. And I prayed about it and God told me not to leave, so I decided I was going to stay. When she got through, I said, well, you know what? I felt the same way. In fact, I thought I was so mad at y'all, I wanted to leave, but God wouldn't let me leave. Okay. Hey, we're people. You ever got mad at your wife or your husband? You ever got mad at your kids or your parents? Come on, we're family. You work these things through. We have commitments. We have responsibility. We got a bigger picture here we're looking at here. We got to focus in on God and what's right. Hallelujah. Okay. So he says, let us not grow weary while doing good. Man, I mean, you know, the doubts come in with the economy and everything. What are we going to do? Should we keep doing it? Oh, you keep doing what's right and trust God. Well, my job, I don't know about what's going to happen here. I think I'm fixing to get laid off. Hey, just believe God for another job. Believe God for, well, in this economy? What do you mean this economy? We're trusting God. We're not trusting the world. We're not trusting this economy. We're trusting God. Hallelujah. Do you think that it makes sense in a town our size to have a church given over $100,000 a year in missions, over $1 million in 10 years in missions, run a television channel, have 45 acres paid for, put on a Hallelujah night where 3,000 people show up on Hallelujah night, provide it free, don't even let them pay anything, give them free hot dogs and free, you know, popcorn and ice cream and cotton candy, I don't know what all we do, free prizes that we do, not charge it, not take any money. Do you think that makes sense in the natural? No, but it's what God told us to do. And it has blessed us. It has blessed our community, and it's blessed us. It's something that we felt in our heart to do to provide for children that time of year, and a lot of things that we do. In a town, I go around, I preach in a lot of different places, and share about our church and about Will's Point. And I said, wow, man, how big is Will's Point? I said, oh, it's 3,496, the last census, I think. And they go, what? And y'all do what? It just blows them away. They can't imagine we do what we do in a town this size. But see, we may be in a small town, but we don't have a small God. It's small thinking that gets you in trouble. Well, we're just a small town, and we just do things in a small town way, and we're always going to be a small town. Well, we could just never do that. Well, you can do whatever God tells you to do. Wherever you are, doesn't matter where you are. Little or much, doesn't matter to God. He's just looking for faith. Amen? Yeah. Do what you can do. God will bless what you do. God will bless you where you are. God will bless you in Will's Point. God will bless you in Elmo. God will bless you in Edgewood. God will bless you in Frog. Or Falba. Or any of those metropolises around here. You know? Okay. So he says this, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Why? Because in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we keep giving, God's going to keep blessing. If we keep helping others, God's going to bless us. If we keep reaching out to others, He's going to keep reaching out to us. The moment we stop and start looking inside ourselves and forget everybody else is the moment we begin to die. Hello. God help us outgrow the ingrown church. It's our outreaches, it's our giving, it's our blessing that causes us to prosper. Same thing for you as an individual. It's as you reach out to others and pray for others and think of others and lift up others, encourage others and help others, people get their dreams, make their dreams come to pass. Zig Ziglar said, if you help enough people achieve their dreams and bring their dreams to pass, you'll bring your dreams to pass. If you help enough people, encourage enough people, you'll get encouraged. You'll be blessed. See, if you're depressed and you're battling that, call somebody up and encourage them. Pray for them. Reach out. Don't stagnate. Give, and it shall be given to you. Listen, this is our finest hour. This is our best time. Our future is bright. It's so bright we've got to wear shades. Our future is determined. Our destiny is determined by what we decide to do today. Doesn't matter about the past. All that matters is right now. Right now I can make a difference, and you can make a difference. And in so doing, it'll come back to you, because God gives to givers. He blesses blessers, and He gives seed to sowers. Everybody say this: I'm a sower. I'm a giver. I'm a blesser. I'm looking out for others. I'm lifting others. Thank you, Father, for blessing me.